I'm going to be reading the scriptures from the Common English Bible. It's going to be Galatians 6, 1 through 16. Brothers and sisters, if a person is caught doing something wrong, you who are spiritual should restore someone like this with a spirit of gentleness. Watch out for yourselves so you won't be tempted too. Carry each other's burdens so you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are important when they aren't, they're fooling themselves. Each person should test their own work and be happy with doing a good job and not compare themselves with others. Each person will have to carry their own load. Those who are taught the word should share all good things with their teacher. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then, let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. Look at the large letters I'm making with my own handwriting. Whoever wants to look good by human standards will try to get you circumcised, and only so they won't be harassed for the cross of Christ. Those who are circumcised don't observe the law themselves, but they want you to be circumcised so they can boast about your physical body. But as for me, God forbid that I should boast about anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through him, and I have been crucified to the world. Being circumcised or not being circumcised doesn't mean anything. What matters is a new creation. May peace and mercy be on whoever follows this rule and on God's Israel. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. And didn't she do a nice job? This is her first time as liturgist. Excellent job. People get really nervous whenever they do this, and I say, it's a friendly crowd, mostly. So, join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for how you speak through your word and how you speak it into our lives. And therefore, if we hear your scripture, if we receive it, we're receiving you. We're actually receiving your grace once again. Help us to be open to how that washes through us, fills us, stretches us, changes us, nurtures us, and most of all, reminds us of your love. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. This letter is a letter that was sent to the Galatians. And whenever we read scripture, sometimes, and this is how our minds work, I understand that, we kind of want to jump ahead. We kind of want to make sense out of things. And so when we read scripture, we think about it in a particular way, and maybe there's a particular verse of scripture that you read that you're very familiar with, and in your own mind, you have convinced yourself that you have it figured out already. Oh yeah, I know that story. And think about it. Whatever it is, Jonah and the whale, the large fish, the Leviathan, whatever. Think about the Tower of Babel, or think about any of these stories that are kind of familiar in the Bible. We think about those and, yeah, okay, I got that. Got it figured out. I don't know that scripture is really meant to be read in that way. I understand. I even fall into that trap. Okay, but scripture is meant to be read in a way that reminds us that God is always speaking to us. Now, that's the challenge, isn't it? That's the challenge. Why in the world would God continue to speak, to give time, to want to spend intimate moments with a schmuck like me? Schmuck is a Western Pennsylvania term meaning goofball. Other words that we can come up with. Somebody that's kind of less than what they should be. And for us, we understand that we don't have to get it right all the time. Praise God. In fact, we can simply accept this truth. We will not get it right all the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because your grace continues to wash in, to fill us, to sustain us. So back to that question. Why would God want to really be so intimate, to spend so much time with me of all people? Paul addresses that in the letter to the Galatians. Getting back to that title, it wasn't that he was addressing it to a particular denominational entity. It wasn't that he was addressing it to a particular group of people meeting in a particular building even. He was addressing it to the Galatians. In other words, each and every brother and sister, wherever they were on the journey, that was open to God speaking into their lives. That's good news, isn't it? So in other words, it's not about a particular group. It's not about a particular club that's receiving God's grace, but it is about God's grace being available for each and every one of us and all people. The letter addressed to the Galatians. Galatia was a place approximately modern-day Turkey, if you look at the map. And there were a number of towns around in that area. So people were thirsting for this word and wanting to learn more about God. The fruits of the Spirit, actually, are mentioned, or maybe the most familiar part of the letter to the Galatians. And they are mentioned earlier in this letter, before this particular scripture passage that was read and shared by our sister in Christ today. This is a letter that is speaking to individuals who are wanting to be open to God, but keep getting in the way. They keep getting in the way of themselves. They want to be open to God. Boy, they have the best of intentions. And yet they start allowing their egos to creep in. They start believing that it's all about them, meaning they personally. They start looking at it almost as a game or a competition that I'm holier than you. I've attained a higher spirituality. I'm better than you. Rather than an everyday kind of humility and humbling of ourselves before the one who is perfect, the one who loves those who are imperfect. This letter is a letter, therefore, that speaks to the church, the modern-day church. But it once again is not simply addressed to Gila Mountain United Methodist Church and all those who gather in this building, all those who are members. Praise God. It is addressed to anyone with open ears, an open mind, an open heart. For us, it's a word of hope. There's no question about that. And yet, we start coming back to that whole thing about ego, don't we? A.J. Conyers, who's a pastor, who's a teacher, who's a scholar, offers this quote: "All religion and every practice of religion, and in fact, all of human life, is in danger of being marshaled into the service of the human ego." In other words, it's easy to make all of this about ourselves. Or when something good goes on or a celebration happens, to say, "Hey, look what we did." Anybody have that experience of somebody bringing an art project to you, maybe a little person about this size? Look what I made at school today. It's a different kind of thing. Something to celebrate, something to go ahead and put up on the refrigerator. But when we keep doing that to one another, then it becomes more about us and less about God. Well, there's a simple prayer that we can offer, and I think that Paul would probably encourage the church at Galatia to offer this. Less of me, more of God. Go ahead and say that along with me. Less of me, more of God. It's a humbling thing. It doesn't mean that we are less in the eyes of God. It doesn't mean that we are less loved in the eyes of God. What it means is that we are dependent on God. And whenever when we come into times of challenge, or when we come up against it, we're hitting a brick wall in our lives, spiritually or physically or emotionally or psychologically, we can say, we can remember, this is on God as well. I'm not alone in this. You see? In the good times and in the bad times, we can be on the journey with God if we're open to how God's speaking into our lives. One of the things that was happening in the church at Galatia is that faithful service and gratitude and humility were being replaced with arrogance and an emphasis on differences between people's spiritual gifts. You know, for the potluck, her apple pie isn't too bad, but mine's the best in the whole church. For us, it's not about who's the best in the whole church, who does the most. For us, it's about how we are open to what God is doing in our lives. And are we willing to follow that? The church in Galatia was having a big fight because there was this faction within the church that was really basing their faith on the law, saying you had to do certain things. There was another group within the church that understood that it was really all about faith. That's where salvation came from God through our faith. And it was God working in our lives before we even thought about Him. Okay? God at work in our lives, in your life, before you were even thinking about Him. In the midst of doing something that maybe was very much against God, God was still thinking about you, at work in your life, intimately moving in your journey. Paul tries not to be critical of those who are legalistic in their faith. But he's also very clear that we are not the authors or the originators of grace. God is. You know, I introduced a term a few weeks ago called rubbernecking at someone else's sin. Do you remember that? Rubbernecking, checking somebody else out, tapping somebody next to you, say, look what they're doing. Rubbernecking, really focusing on somebody else's sin. Grace garters is another term that I would introduce to you. Grace garters. Those who feel like they have to hold in the grace that God has given them because they're going to run out. They need to hoard God's grace, because certainly if they share too much of it, there's not going to be enough left for the challenges that they have in their lives. Grace garters are those that say in the church, your experience must mirror mine. You must give away all you possess. You must vote for, and then fill in the particular party of your choice. You must listen to and then fill in the particular news outlet that you listen to. Grace garters are very dogmatic. Grace garters are not very fun to be around either. And grace garters are those that don't understand the very nature and essence of grace, that God's grace is unending and pouring out to each and every one of us. The Amish community in Nichols Mines, Pennsylvania, is legendary for its response to the horrific slaughter of 5 young girls and severe wounding of 5 more. This happened a number of years ago. I was still serving churches back in Pennsylvania, so I remember it vividly. Gunmen going into one of the schoolhouses, starting to shoot and kill. The community's actions reflect with brilliant clarity who and whose they are as dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. What did the Amish community of Nichols Mines sow to the Spirit? They sowed radical forgiveness. If you remember that incident, more so what happened afterwards, there was an incredible outpouring of grace from a community that had been damaged, attacked, violated. And yet they understood that God was still at work in their midst. Even in the midst of something so horrific, God was still at work, and nothing could keep God from being at work in their midst and in their community. So why was it their decision, or how could it be their decision, to keep God's grace from flowing out of them as well? Extraordinary? Yes, it is. We are not called to hoard, to hold on to God's grace. We are called to be sharers of it, to offer it freely and openly. Yes, we are. In just a few minutes. We're doing communion today for those of you who would like to know that. And it's an open table. And in fact, there's another story concerning this that I want to go ahead and share with you. This is about God's grace. This is about us. Less of us, more of God. That whole idea that Paul was speaking to the early church. Reverend Daniel Chetty, the American Baptist Church USA missionary to Beirut, tells of Muslims who have come to love Jesus Christ. The All Saints International Congregation in Beirut, Lebanon, welcomes such to the communion table. Okay? Think about that. Whether or not they have been baptized, since baptism, especially in that area for Muslim, can lead to disinheritance, being shunned by family, or even death. Here's a question. Shall this table then remain open? Our response is yes. Has God's grace been poured out to us? Yes. We called to offer that grace that's in us towards others? Yes. The community prayed for a word from God, and the word came. This is what came to them. This is my table, God says. It is not yours. It does not belong to any denomination's doctrine. It is mine, God says. The true gospel produces a church in which unity exists with remarkable diversity. This table and what it means is sacred, and powerful, and holy, and beautiful. Surprising, challenging. And you are welcome to come forward. It's not ours to hoard. It's God's, and it is shared with each and every one here. I invite those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time.